Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's good that we can enter into the presence of the Lord and offer him thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. A special welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream, and it always fascinates me from time to time when I'm out and about and somebody says, oh, we watch you on Sunday morning. So as part of in response to that, I want to say hello to a lovely lady named Linda who was at a funeral I was conducting this week. And she said, and who are you? And she went, oh, I knew you looked familiar. I watch you every Sunday. So a welcome to her this morning in worship. And also to Bob and Ruth Martin, with whom I was speaking this week. Bob, of course, interim moderator here before I arrived. And Bob made note that that they often join us on Sunday morning, too. So I said I would say good morning to Bob and Ruth. So good morning, Bob and Ruth. The announcements appeared before you on the screen, and do take a moment as you're gathering in worship to make sure you see the announcements flash by before you. They are contain many things that we don't quite have the space for in the printed bulletins. So they are always there's always a little Easter egg in there that you need to pay close attention to. A couple of brief things just to remind folks. Our Bible study for the Advent season using the book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer entitled God is in the Manger will begin this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. So please make note of that. Most folks who are taking part, who have indicated to me they are taking part, have their books already. But if you would like to join, it's probably not too late. Amazon is a wonderful thing. It gets books here very quickly. And if you would like to be part of that, you can get in touch with me and we'll make sure that you have a book for that. Please reserve the date of Friday, December the 1st. We're having a intergenerational event, and there have been some folks who have asked different questions about it. No, you don't have to bring a thing. Everything you need will be provided for you. Supper will be at 6 o'clock, and then we will begin some activities at about 6:30, and everything is done at 8 o'clock. So that's your timeline, 6 to 8, supper first. So you don't have to go home, you don't have to cook, you don't have to do dishes. Come and join members of your congregation and be part of this educational event. If you'd like to sing in the choir for the next month as we move through the Advent Christmas season, which, of course, music is such an important part of, then we more than would appreciate your presence in the choir. And we will begin rehearsals for the Advent and Christmas season next Sunday following worship. We welcome Bill Brown to the organ this morning. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for being with us. Minna is celebrating her birthday today with her daughter who lives in Caledonia. We wish Minna a happy birthday and an enjoyable time with her family in Caledonia. And finally, Jack McMartin. Just a note, I think there's a Get Well card at the back. Barb, for Jack, Jack McMartin had surgery in the last little while and is on his way to recovery, but there's a card in the McClellan room for you to sign at the end of worship this morning. And it's bold and it's red. The only thing it doesn't do is flash to make sure I don't forget to invite Brenda up to do the session summary. Brenda, the floor is yours. She gave me a hard time this morning because I always forget her.
Good morning. The session met on Tuesday, November the 14th at 5:30. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a devotional reading from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 13, in which we learned that we have received a variety of gifts that are activated by the Spirit. and we are to use these gifts for the glory of God. The annual congregational meeting will be held on Sunday, February the 25th, following worship. Kempel Barath, finance chair, has notified session that he will step down from his position after the congregational meeting. We thank Kempel for his service and know that he will continue to share his gifts in other ways. Please prayerfully consider if this is an area of interest for you. The finance chair works closely with Darlene Pichet, our church bookkeeper, the minister, and the clerk. If you would like more information, please talk to Reverend Adams, Kempel Barath, or Cynthia Sagan. The Christmas Eve offering will be given to Baldwin House and, if necessary, Presbyterian Sharing. The session will make a recommendation at the annual congregation meeting to accept an allocation of $18,500 for the Presbyterian Sharing in 2024. This is the same allocation as this year. For your information, the Presbyterian Church in Canada recommends an allocation for each church. This amount is 10% of the dollar base from the previous year, minus money received from the Presbyterian Sharing. Missions and debt reduction. Each year, the Session Trust Fund distributes donations to various charities. This year, Graceville Camp will receive $300. $200 will go to Center 105, and the Place of Hope Indigenous Presbyterian Church will also receive $200. There will be a communion service on December the 3rd, the first Sunday in Advent. Pre-filled cups will be available for at-home use and for those who prefer to use one at the church. We have had a request from Center 105 to use our premises for the Christmas concert fundraiser on Sunday, December the 10th, due to same problems Trinity's experienced with their boilers. The House Committee and the Session have agreed to grant permission, so should St. John's be required. Kempel Barath is looking for volunteers to help with collection and counting. If you're interested in this ministry, please see him. Session is looking for volunteers to form a committee to plan and fundraise for a commemorative planting and plaque honoring the Reverend Dr. Fred Rainey. Please speak to Michelle Alexis if you're interested in this endeavor. On December the 17th, we'll hold the pageant and an ugly Christmas sweater day. Session began their study on I Am a Church Member. Thank you.
And thank you, Brenda. Let's now prepare our hearts for worship as we come into God's presence. And we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we, his people, walk in the light of his ways. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice.
God, we delight in your creation. We thank you for soft breezes, crisp apples, and changing seasons that remind us of your presence and provision.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice.
God, we delight in our connectedness. We thank you for friends who check in, for church family who lift one another up, for neighbors who show up in the good and challenging times.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice.
God, we delight in your peace that dwells among us. We give thanks for neighbors who offer to help in times of trouble, gentleness in the midst of pain, and acts of kindness during seasons of struggle.
Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving and rejoicing.
Come, let us worship God together. Amen.
Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Almighty God, whose sovereign purpose none can make void, give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, knowing that your kingdom shall come and your will shall be done to your eternal glory. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And we begin our service this morning by singing hymn 410, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, hymn 410, or as it appears before you on the screen. Friends in Christ, as people of faith, we wait for the coming of Christ's kingdom, when sin and sighing and sorrow will be no more. But as we wait, we are called to remember how far we have fallen from the mark, that we might strive for newness of life. In faith, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before you on the screen. Faithful God, we confess that we do not give attention to the things that are of you. We listen to rumors and gossip instead of what is true and honorable. We do not hold fast to justice. We do not train our hearts on what is pure and pleasing to you. In our words and our deeds, we stray from all that is commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. We do not attend to all that we have received and learned of your good news, and so we do not live in peace with you or with our neighbors. Forgive us, we pray, Free us to live as your grateful people. Amen. Friends, receive this good news. God pays attention to us when we pray. God receives our confession and saves us by grace. May the peace of God guard us in mind and heart, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. And our hymn is 421, Rejoice in the Lord Always. The hymn will appear before you on the screen. Seated. We have no young people to come forward this morning, so it's just me. So you're all going to have to be the young people this morning. The young and heart part now comes into play. What scares you the most? It's kids. It's thunderstorms, right? Those things that go bang in the middle of the night. Oh, I hated those. Or being lost. Been lost? Don't know where to go, yeah? Terrifying sometimes, isn't it? Lose anything or anybody else, how about that? So I was thinking about this story, I was reminded of a time, oh, this would be 25 years ago, when our two eldest children would have been about 5 and 3, and we had gone to the mall to shop for a phone. So we were in Sears, in the electronics department, looking at phones. And of course, shopping for phones is not the most exciting thing for little children to do. So, eventually they went, can we go and watch the TV? Because there was some cartoon that they didn't usually get the chance to see showing on the cartoon. So we said, okay, you can go, but you have to stay right here. We're just around the corner. And really, I mean, we were just off camera, just around the corner. And we hadn't looked at phones for much more than a couple of minutes when we went back. And what did you think we found in front of the TV? No children. So you start doing ever-increasing circles around the Sears department store, looking for the kids, venturing out and down the concourse of the mall, which was a peculiarly long mall. It was just a straight thing, so it... They made it just about the entire way to the other end of the mall. They made it about halfway down this long concourse. Eventually, some elderly gentleman who had seen them walking along by themselves, John holding Carol's hand. Now, I think that's probably the only time John has ever held Carol's hand or Carol would ever allow him to. What they were thinking that day, I do not know. But this elderly gentleman had seen them and kind of started coming back, and so we met them partway. Oh, just about died. Just about died. As we listen to the scriptures this morning, think about these events, the things that trouble us most, and the importance of our faith in gathering us in and giving us peace and comfort and hope. One of our readings will be from Philippians, which we've just kind of rehearsed a little bit of by way of the call to worship this morning. But Paul in Philippians writes, "Always be joyful because you belong to God. I will say it again, be joyful. Let everyone know how gentle you are. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, no matter what happens. Tell God about everything. Ask and pray and give thanks to him. Then God's peace will watch over your hearts and your minds. He will do this because you belong to Jesus Christ. God's peace can never be completely understood." Three things that Paul encourages the church to do. First, tell God your worries and your concerns. Second, ask God to help you with them. And third, Paul reminds us to give thanks to God because God is doing good things. Tell God about the worries. Ask him to help. And then give thanks. Rejoice, for the Lord is near. That is God's message for us today, whether we are old or young. Let us now pause for a moment of prayer as we prepare to hear God's word. You, O God, are our dwelling place from generation to generation, our shield from anguish and distress. You arm us as children of light with the hope of salvation, and you protect us by your love. Give us grace to build up and encourage one another as we seek wisdom and abundant life in the strength of your word and the assurance of your spirit. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians Chapter 5, reading verses 1 to 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The second reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 95, reading responsively. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come to his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice.
Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness.
When your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work.
For the 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways.
Therefore, in my anger, I swore, they shall not enter my rest. And from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, reading verses 4 to 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let us join together in the singing of the hymn 878 in the hymnal, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy."
Sing with his soul.
and this morning's gospel reading, taken from Matthew chapter 25, reading verses 14 to 30. Let us listen for God's word as it is given in Matthew chapter 25, reading verses 14 to 30. Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he said, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to their ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with each of them. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into your master's joy.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, and he said, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you do not sow, gathering where you do not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own in interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Thessalonica to Philippi. Growing up as a kid on PEI, I remember there used to be, I called them road signs, but when I tried to Google them, they weren't called road signs. I never did find them on Google. I outsmarted it. I remember these signs from my youth, however. They were signs that people would put up on the side of a farm building, perhaps, or on their own little homemade billboard sign. They'd probably be the size of a sheet of plywood. They were evangelical signs with texts like, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." I don't know if they were common in this area of the world, but in the Maritimes, they were a thing. I've been thinking about those road signs this past week. I'm wondering where they fit into Paul's exhortation to the church at Thessalonica to live into their faith. As Christians, we live in an interesting era. We know that Jesus Christ has come into the world to reveal to us God's love, to proclaim the goodness of the kingdom of God. We know that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the work of salvation has been done. Jesus Christ has taken upon himself our sins and our shortcomings and put them to death upon the cross and been raised to new life. The fear of retribution, pain, and death then are gone. New life awaits us. But here we are, frozen in this moment in time, just a fleeting moment, perhaps, in the grand sweep of God's eternity. But for us, it is here and now. And so, what does it mean to be followers of Jesus? What does it mean to be children of light as we continue to live in this moment of darkness before dawn in our world? How are we to make sense of the promise when for us it seems so far away? In the year 2000, the Canadian band Blue Rodeo, Blue Rodeo fans in the house? Hey, I got a couple. Cool. Outstanding. My people. The Canadian band Blue Rodeo recorded a song entitled The Days in Between. And it quickly became, I had two songs at that time that were my theme songs in life, and that was one of them. It spoke to kind of how I was feeling at that particular moment in time. I was in between, I was uncertain, I was unsure. The words to the song began with, "Then there are the days in between when everything seems hollow and mean. Don't want to move, I just want to forget. Smoke another cigarette and go back to bed. These are the days in between." And sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Don't want to deal with today. We all gave up smoking a long time ago, but we could still go back to bed for a while and just hope that when we pull the covers off our heads in a little while that things will be better. And in a way, those are the words that summarize well the anxiety of this fledgling Christian community in Thessalonica that we read about this morning and to whom Paul writes. It is that same anxiety that we might feel today. You see, they were a church that was under pressure, that church in Thessalonica. They were a church that was born into the crucible of persecution. They faced opposition from the Jews in their community who had chased Paul and Timothy out of Thessalonica. So Paul is, we believe, probably writing to them from Corinth at this time. And they had killed some of the early Christian leaders of the church. They are a people of faith, but they ask an age-old question, the question that the psalmist asks in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, how long will you turn your face from us? Faced with the inhumanity that humanity can inflict upon each other, this was a congregation that was searching for the answer. How long will these in-between times last? When will all the suffering be gone? And into their despair, Paul reminds them of the assurance of their faith, that while things seem dark now, they are not children of darkness. They have the promise that God knows their suffering and their pain and has already acted to save them. While they may feel unsure, God is steadfast and true. Likewise for us, as we look around at the world in which we live these days, it sometimes seems all too easy to fall into despair, to lose our focus and become fixated on the troubles that are all around us. The reinvigoration of some of our world's most intractable conflicts, natural disasters that seem to sweep away people's lives and their livelihoods, and the general sense of unease that life just seems harder now, and that our children will not enjoy the same lifestyle that we have. All of this leaves us with searching for some sense of peace and security, and wondering, how long? How long will these trials last? Does God not see what's going on all around us? And yet, we have the same home as did the first church of Thessalonica. We know that God sent Christ into the world. We know that Jesus died for our sins and was raised to eternal life, and we shelter in that promise. And we rest in the assurance that Christ will come again, bringing with him his kingdom of justice and peace. And while the events of this world are troubling, we know that a better future lies ahead. So what are we to do? We are to keep our eyes on the promise, to live as people of hope. To know what that looks like, we need look no further than Paul's letter to the Philippians that we read in Philippians chapter 4. Whereas the church of Thessalonica very much seems to be one that has become fixated on everything that is wrong with our world and therefore needs to be reminded of the light, Paul's word to the Philippian church is much more, it's much more joyful. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, in case you didn't hear it the first time, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These words are an encouragement that in everything we do, we should live into our faith. Live as people of joy. Be gentle with everyone, for we know that something new is coming. That while perhaps it might be still just over the horizon, we know that God is near. It is kind of like, and I know this is an illusion that's going to bug me because it's out of season. It's too early to talk about Christmas yet, but I'm going to go there anyway. It is that lesson that Charles Dickens tries to teach us in The Christmas Carol, right? And that transformation that happens in Mr. Scrooge. I don't know if you've got a favorite version of that story and movie, but mine is always the one with Alistair Sim playing Ebenezer. I think he just gets it right. Right? But Ebenezer Scrooge, as we begin, is a miserable man who lives in a miserable world because it's miserable. But through the course of the events of that story and the gift of hope that is given to Scrooge, at the end he becomes a joyful man in a joyful world because it is a joyful world. The transition from joy, or from miserable to joy, from darkness to light, rests upon our keeping our eye on the prize of what it is that we look for in our world. My father was a man, I think it's fair to say, who would break into song at a moment's notice. working around the house, driving in the car, up a ladder 40 feet high, painting the gable end of the house. And you never really knew what the song would be that he would break into. It would be a religious tune, perhaps, or an old folk song that he had learned in school, or something from the 1930s on the radio. It just came. It's an odd behavior for a man who would say that he couldn't sing. And yet, there you go. That was him. But one of his favorite little tunes that he would break into unannounced at some point or another was the chorus of a hymn written by Helen Howarth Lemmel. And the words of the chorus went like this: "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." We have been called to be children of light and to reflect the glory and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. Knowing that the challenges of this world do not end because we believe, but that they're put in right perspective, and that we can see the light behind the darkness, and that in the end, all will be well. Thanks be to God. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for the many blessings that God has given to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to God. Let us pray. Lord of peace and sincerity, receive the gifts we bring this day as we present them in thankfulness and joy. We bring ourselves as our offering, that in living lives of truth, justice, honor, and excellence, we might please you and be worthy of your never-failing love. We pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us continue now in prayer. Gracious God, concerning the times and the seasons, we give thanks for these darkening days of winter, choosing to enter into a more restful pattern of life, following the wisdom and the rhythms of the seasons, avoiding the tendency to rush and be frantic, choosing hibernation and quietness over being harassed and hassled, taking time to watch and wait and discern. On this threshold of another round of climate change talks, we give you thanks for the willingness of nations to gather together and discuss, debate, and work together. We choose not to be complacent or complicit, but grateful for the abundance of this amazing planet and for the true wealth of wonder at the meticulous detail of it all. Grateful even for the sense of urgency and the gift of hope concerning these challenging times and the upending of the seasons. And in the face of a year of more forest fires, more extreme flooding, more powerful than ever hurricanes, more people on the move because their harvests have failed them again, and their homes have become inhospitable, we pray for an awakening to what is of real worth, for a seismic shift in the hearts and minds of decision makers and influencers that will shake us from complacency, denial, or despair. We join our voices with brothers and sisters across the world and with all of your creation, crying out for systemic change, to have the courage and humility to live respectfully within the planet's limits, to hope and work for harmony and unity between each other and with the earth on which we live, for the flourishing of all the healing of creation and the glory of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We pray these things. Hear us now as we continue to pray the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn will appear before you on the screen. It is the song, Soon, Very Soon, We Are Going to see the King. Let us sing the hymn as it appears before us on the screen. now, may God's peace follow you wherever you go, guiding and guarding you, that you may live in joy and thanksgiving with God, with self, and with neighbor, and with all of God's creation. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.